This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation podcast. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight I'm joined by my brother, the Adam Black, who just celebrated a birthday this week.
Yeah. Careening ever closer to the year, to the age of 40. What's up, y'all?
Yay!
And that other voice you heard is joining us back after a long hiatus is Mr. Banff.
Evening, bitches. I know y'all missed me.
Hey.
How was the fancy restaurant place y'all went to, Adam Black?
Fogo de Chao is pretty good. It's a Brazilian, so it's kind of buffet style, but what it is, you get a salad bar, and then they come around with skewers of meat. And they ask, you know, with various, you know, each skewer is different, lamb chops on one, various cuts of steak, filet mignon wrapped in bacon, chicken breast wrapped in bacon, pork, it's all types of stuff. It's very good. And the deal is you have a card. When you flip the card to green, they will bring out food, and it comes at a rapid pace. You flip the card to red when you want them to stop bringing you food. And that's the deal. And, you know, of course,
peons.
I wouldn't call them peons. I mean, they are serving you food, so, you know, I didn't want my shit to get fucked up. So,
be
rude.
Very.
But it was very, very good. Very, also very expensive. But, you know, it was for the birthday, and the Mrs. was very cool about it.
Oh, yay!
So glad that went well. And I've got an idea for a present, which I'll ask you off the air to make sure you don't already have it before I decide to purchase it.
Okay.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the fucking purpose, though?
Yeah, he's at the age now where I don't feel like going through all that hassle.
Man, fuck it. Buy it, send that some bitch with the receipt, and if he got it, he can exchange it. Fuck it.
If I get online, I don't have a receipt.
Oh, yeah, that's a fucking hassle. Never mind. Ask him.
So, I want to remind everyone that we have a website, theclicknation.com, which, if you go to it, you'll see nice updated slider images, which I did last week.
Yay.
I'm proud of that.
So, you should be.
Go on there and listen to previous podcasts and various posts we have up there. Follow the Twitter account at TheClickNation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for TheClickNation. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And we are also a newly member of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. For those in the know, the Cold Slither, the Cold Slither Podcast is no more, but Classic Material has kept the site and has kept the site going and has sort of turned it into like a network to focus and feature different podcasts. So we want to send them a shout out. Make sure to go to coldslitherpodcast.com is the website, and check out all the different and various shows that are on the network. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. So we decided to get the gang back together and sort of shoot the breeze and talk about some various topics in the media right now. And before we start recording, Mr. Banff brought up how it appears The Rock is set to perhaps make his comic book movie debut in a certain movie that, at least by the time this comes out, it'll probably have already been announced at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes. The Rock was doing a press interview for the new Hercules movie that he is starring in that will be, by the time you hear this, it will probably be out. And, you know, the interviewer asked him about his association with DC, which, you know, everybody knows he's been kind of thrown in there as, you know, as various characters for you know, DC movies. And he's, you know, he said, you know, his character is going to be as strong as Superman. He didn't want to give it away, but he did put out the sentence, the kind of teaser sentence, just say the word, which everybody in the internet world have, they're pretty much saying, you know, that's more than likely a reference to the character Shazam and Captain Marvel. Which I'm actually kind of cool with, you know. Probably would have preferred, I think we all would have might have liked him as Black Adam, but you know, I can go for Shazam. Cool. You know, if he is playing, you know, if that is the choice, you know. So, but hey, you know, I'm down with that.
Yeah, I think he can pull off the whole, you know, boy trapped inside a man's body. I think he has that ability to pull that off in his acting role. So it should be a pretty good starring role for him.
And of course, the Shazam movie was one of the movies teased by Nikki Fine when she released. I heard, I guess, debut on website, the list of like 7 movies that WB has planned, you know, following Batman versus Superman. So it was like Shazam and
Shazam, Sandman.
Yeah, Sandman was one I was trying to think of. Green Lantern, Flash team up.
Yeah, of course, Justice League. And Man of Steel 2.
And Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah, Wonder Woman, yeah.
I mean, that's a very ambitious movie plan. But, you know, hope this all pretty much hinges on that Batman v Superman movie, you know, succeeding, I think.
Yeah. You know, I don't see. It will. Oh, it will. Warner Brothers is not gonna let this one fuck up. I mean, that's why David S. Goyer is not writing the script.
Wow. I didn't think he did a good job. Like, with
This is the thing. David S. Goyer, he's good for making story. He sucks at scripts. He does. He just don't. He's not that great at scripts. You know, Man of Steel is, like I said, Man of Steel is, you know, Man of Steel, don't get me wrong. Y'all know I love Man of Steel. Like, definitely like one of my favorite comic book movies, you know. But you know, David S. Goyer is not a great, you know, script writer. He can give you good stories all day long, but you know, that whole script writing thing is not for him. But you know, but they the gentleman, I forgot his name, he wrote Argo. He wrote Argo for Ben Affleck. I cannot remember his name to save my life. And he won a damn Oscar for it. Oh my god, what is his name? Fuck. Anyway.
Chris Terrio.
Yes. He's writing Batman versus Superman, so he's doing the script part. So it should be, like I said, I think it's gonna be good. And I'm sick of people complaining about, oh, it's too many characters in the movie. Like, bitch, shut the fuck up. Like I said, shit, X-Men Days of Future Past had how many people, how many characters in that damn movie?
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
No, I was just gonna say, I'm glad that I have you guys to get my info from, because one thing I don't pay attention to is like all the different dynamics of a movie, like a story person, a script writer, director, producer. I don't know what all that stuff is.
Yeah, that's my thing, you know.
But then I can tell you all the comic book stuff, like who's
right.
I can tell you who's editing books. So
right,
we all have our niches.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't keep up as much as I keep up with more directors, and sometimes I'll keep up with screenwriters, as long as whoever the four or five writers that contributed to that Green Lantern movie don't write any more movies. I'm pretty cool.
Yeah, no.
They're gonna revive Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, I know it. While we're on this subject, today's news, I believe it was from CBR, Comic Book Resources, they said that there will be no crossovers between the DC movie universe and the DC TV universe. So, no, there's not a chance that Green Arrow will be spotted in one of these movies, at least for now.
So, you might have a Flash in the Justice League movie, but maybe Wally West? Who knows?
Dun, dun, dun. And will he be black?
Biracial. Yeah, I think they're going to save that for Green Lantern, man. I really think they're going to use Jon Stewart.
It's kind of like,
you know,
they've leaned to it so much.
You know, right. I mean, we old cats, you know, Hal Jordan was, you know, was our Green Lantern, but Jon Stewart's been the Green Lantern that everybody knows for, like, since what, 2003, 2004, something like that.
Yeah, thanks to Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, the animated series. Yeah,
right.
He's pretty much a whole generation's Green Lantern.
Right. So, you know, and I'm cool with that. I'm actually kind of cool with that. You know. You know, so, I mean, you know, I kind of, you know, even though I do still have this soft, you know, little soft spot in my heart for Hal, but hey, you know, we can give Jon Stewart a little shine.
You could sure use it.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have, supposedly Jason Momoa as Aquaman. He's definitely physically imposing.
Right.
He, of course, was in Game of Thrones and whatever Conan movie that people want to forget was ever made.
Yeah, that movie's terrible. God.
Is that... No, I can't want to say that's who Rock is playing, but he's playing Hercules.
Yeah, he's playing Hercules.
Same damn thing.
Yes. In the Brett Ratner Hercules movie. Yeah, Brett Ratner. Mm. Yeah.
Not looking forward to that.
You know what? I'm gonna go see it. It's Dwayne. He's playing Hercules. It's, even though it's based on a comic book, is that comic book is actually based very kind of heavily on the actual myth. So I'll go see it. You know, I'll go see it. You know.
I was almost ready not to see it just because it's a Brett Ratner movie, and I don't have anything against. The only black mark I have against them is X-Men: The Last Stand. I like the Rush movies. But I saw that, when I saw he was directing, I was like, not sure.
You know. Like I said, I mean, Brett Ratner is just not, to me, he's not that great of a director. He really, he, you know.
What has he directed?
He's directed Money Talks, the Rush Hour movies,
just
Red Dragon.
Okay.
Red Dragon, which was a prequel to Silence of the Lambs, which is the only like movie of his. Which is like the only movie of his that's like that, and Money Talks are like my two favorite movies. And the only reason Money Talks is so good is because, you know, Chris Tucker's in it. Yeah. And because, you know, if you take him out of it, that movie sucks. But
is that the movie with him and Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen. Yeah.
That was a good movie. But yeah, like I said, it's because of Tucker.
Yeah, because of him. Yeah, if you took him out of the movie, that movie would suck. But I don't particularly like the Rush Hour movies. They're not that entertaining. They're like very bad Lethal Weapon ripoffs to me. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
The second one was can you say that was the highlight?
Yeah. It's the better of the three.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, and then like I said, of course there's X-Men, which is like, dude, really?
which is what has me disliking the whole movie franchise to this day.
But this, right, but also, this is the thing though about X-Men. You know, we give Brett Ratner a really hard time about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's really not his fault. If you want to be honest, this is actually the studio's fault. They rushed this movie out because the movie was about to get made. Then, Bryan Singer leaves, goes to make Superman, and his script gets rewritten by, you know, Zach Penn and all. Not Zach Penn. I forgot. Oh, brain is drawing blanks. Anyway. So his script gets rewritten at the behest of the studio to include certain other things, you know, namely the mutant cure thing, and they gave him, I forgot how many months, 4 or 5 months to complete this movie, to make it on in as a release date, and I mean, he pulled it off.
You expect a good movie? Know.
I mean. You know, I mean, we give Brett Ratner hell, but that's this is 20th Century's fault, Fox's fault. You know, they've been fucking up comic book movies for decades now, you know. So, you know, I mean, I'm leaning towards giving him a little slack these days.
Wow. It looks like it was a combination of Simon Kinberg and Zach Penn's ideas for that movie as far as the script.
Right.
And they both had to fight executives to try and keep the Dark Phoenix saga stuff in. So it seems like that's just trouble from the start.
Right. You know. And the only reason I guess they kept it in was because it was alluded to in the damn end of the second one. So, you know, but hey, that's executives for you.
Yeah, they aren't doing anything as far as the movie. You know, they don't have to go to the set and deal with it. They just want something to happen.
They want some shit that can make some money. That's all they want. So.
So what else we got? So look out for Shazam announcements. Oh, speaking of kind of movie related stuff, I was looking at some San Diego Comic-Con news and was listening to the Screen Rant podcast at work today, and they were bringing up how I forget which studio it is, whichever one has all the monster movie characters, and how they're trying to
Universal.
Form their own shared universe with them.
Yeah, I read that.
Think of that.
That's stupid.
You don't want to see Dracula and
it's fucking stupid.
Whoever else. I don't even know what characters are involved in this.
I mean, Dragon, you got Wolf, the Man, creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, you got Frankenstein's monster. You got the Wolfman. You got Dracula, the Invisible Man. It's stupid. It's dumb. Why would you? I mean, really? you might as well remake the Monster Squad movie. I mean,
no, don't.
It feels like, to me, it kind of feels like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Or that.
Like that. Like when I saw that, like the commercials and stuff for that, I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. All these people together. And then you watch it and, like, eh.
That movie that is kind of harsh.
Yeah, that's
the movie that killed Sean Connery's career.
Has he been seen anything since?
Right. He claims he retired. That's a fucking lie. Your ass didn't get no more work because of that bullshit.
Yeah, and I just remember there were various problems while they were filming that movie too, between the director and Sean Connery. It was just crazy.
Do you know who the hell I am?
Yeah. But yeah. Therapist for 500, Alex.
But so they're talking about just doing that whole, you know, do a Dracula movie, and then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, Dr. Frankenstein shows up at the end or some shit like that.
Well, you know, they have the new Dracula movie about to come out soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if this is the start of their shared universe or not, as the young kids say, or not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I saw the trailer for that, for Dracula Unleashed or whatever the fuck it's called, and it's essentially a origin story that takes very, very heavy liberties with the story of Dracula. Like, wait a minute, you know, it's like, okay, I'll go see it. But yeah, that whole syrup mustard universe thing, I think that's kind of stupid. It's almost as dumb as the X-Men Fantastic Four shared universe thing.
Which now they're talking about, like, that's not going to happen.
Thank you.
I'm glad that all this stuff has come to me while we're recording. Like, Top is just flowing now. So,
right.
You had the chick from House of Cards playing Miss Invisible Woman, saying how she didn't have to read any of the comic books for source material because the director told her that Fantastic Four movie is not going to be a superhero movie or something.
Kate Mara.
Yeah. This movie is fucking trouble. And then I read something that is going to be kind of like a found footage kind of movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me Josh Trank is making Chronicle 2 is sticking Fantastic Four characters in it? What the fuck is that about?
Aren't they doing a Chronicles 2? Chronicle 2?
Fuck if I know.
Or they're not, and he's like, well, I'm making my movie, damn it.
I really think they were like, no, you can't make Chronicle 2 until you make Fantastic Four. And he was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to make Chronicle 2 and mix the Fantastic Four with it and call it the Fantastic Four. I'm even going to get one of the guys who was in my fucking Chronicle and put him in it.
And I'll make him black.
That's right. I'm gonna take Johnny Storm. I'm going to turn him into a nigger. That's what you're doing.
I'm glad I'm not a Fantastic Four fan.
Me too.
Because I just don't care to begin with. So I'm like,
right.
Who cares what happens to this franchise?
Right.
Well, I mean, I care because I want as a Marvel fan in general, I want it to be a good movie. And I know everyone's like, well, if it sucks, it'll just go over to Disney and they'll do it right. And
That's what we want. We don't want Marvel characters floating about. We already know that we will never get our hands back on X-Men. We know that.
Which leads to my other news I just thought of.
What, Spider-Man?
Yeah, all the little rumors about how Spider-Man's not doing well. And the, was it Orsi guy
left. Yeah, he's left the franchise because he is trying his damnedest to direct the Star Trek movie, which they haven't even given him the fucking movie. He's left though, you know.
Hey, he jump off the sinking ship.
Right, you know, and then there's the other rumors of Sony going having financial troubles, and they're going to probably start selling off rights and stuff to make money.
What do they have rights to anyway? Besides the X-Men movies, what does Sony? The Spider-Man movies.
Well,
what
Sony put Spider-Man. I have no idea what else they own other than
because they lost Harry Potter, right? And that's reason they're all.
Well, Harry Potter is Warner Brothers.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They own a small stake in the James Bond trilogy, in the James Bond movies, the newer ones.
Yes.
So they'll probably sell that back to 20th Century Fox because 20th Century Fox and MGM owns the rest of that. They own the rights for the Spider-Man and all his assorted associated characters.
And you know, now what appears to be the Jump Street series of movies.
Right.
Haven't they killed that with all the spoofs at the end?
Yeah, that was funny, but shoot, that movie made more than the first one, I believe. So, yeah, they're going to keep on going with that.
Right, you know. And this is the thing about Spider-Man 2. It's not as bad as everybody made it out to be. I went to see it, and I was like, this isn't as bad as everybody said it was. Because it really isn't.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad. I don't know. Everything I'm just... Anything that isn't Disney, I'm just kind of like, eh, too.
Right.
Which is sad.
Right. Anything that's not Disney...
Because it's not whole.
Right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Like, a lot of people came out of Days of Future Past saying how great it was. I was just like, it was all right. That's a whole nother issue with me, though. Like, with the X-Men movies.
Well, you don't. Let's be honest. You don't like any of the X-Men movies, really, do you?
Second one.
There you go.
Because I'm tired of like mutants just being thrown in for background characters and cannon fodder and not having any story given to them.
Right.
Yet the First Class was kind of there in Days of Future Past, but then they weren't.
Right.
So
you know.
Spider-Man, they were announcing Amazing Spider-Man 3 and 4 and Sinister Six and Venom movies before Amazing Spider-Man 2 even was out in theaters.
Right.
That may have been a bit premature.
I mean, like I said, I don't know what... I guess word of mouth killed that damn movie, man. That's the only thing I could figure, you know. I mean, because honest God, it really won't that bad. I mean, now, of course, Jamie Foxx was like...
Yeah,
That's the only part of that movie I don't like. I don't like his hair. I don't like Electro.
Yeah, Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
That's essentially what that was. That's pretty much what that was. And it was like, dude, I don't even... Why are you here? You know,
I didn't like the score during it either.
Yeah, that whole him playing like, you know, Beethoven and shit on damn power lines was kind of stupid, but okay.
Yeah, like you having these fight scenes and you got this music being played during it.
Right. It's like, okay, dude, really? I mean, and then like I said, the ending is the best part of that movie. I was all verklempt in the movie theater, I was all in my feelings, man, because it was just like, oh my God. It's like, really? You know, I mean, but we knew it was coming. That's the bad thing about it.
I read the article, I think it was actually this week, about summarizing some of the stuff that I guess I felt wrong with the movie. Like, we were rehashing all of Peter, the origin story again, rehashing stuff with Harry Osborn, and it's like, we kind of already done all this already.
Right.
And that's what, to get back to the Fantastic Four problem, if you have a Fantastic Four movie that bombs and Marvel does get the rights back, how long do you wait before you do a Fantastic Four movie? Because you just did it.
They'll wait a little while, I think, because
yeah.
They've got their movie franchise mapped out to 2018, 2028 or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever lie they have out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're gonna have to wait a minute.
I don't believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't believe that. They ain't got that shit mapped out that fucking far. Come on.
They might have ideas. They might have ideas.
Right.
You may have a. I mean, maybe at most, maybe two. Well, probably about 3 or 4 years, maybe.
The only thing they're guaranteed is Avengers 2, 3, 4, Captain America 3, 4, you know, maybe another Incredible Hulk movie, a couple more Thor movies. You know, that's the only thing they got fucking mapped out.
I'm talking about the 2020.
They are trying to bank on a Guardians of the Galaxy 2. They said it hit. That's why they're kind of worried about this movie, the first Guardians movie sucking, is because they are hinging that they'll be able to do a sequel because it's such an important part for Phase 3.
Well, I read a couple of early reviews and thoughts and impressions, and it sounds like it's going to be pretty good, so we'll see.
Of course, they're also banking on doing the Guardians Avengers team up and for Avengers 3 and the Infinity fight is what they're going to call whatever showdown against Thanos.
I mean, I think I was talking to Rodney about this the other day. Oh, I'm sorry, Adam Blackby about this the other day. I'm kind of bored with Marvel movies right about now. You know, I mean, because it's like the only movie that didn't seem in Phase 2 that didn't seem anticlimactic is Captain America 2. You know, Iron Man 3 sucks. Thor 2.
Is okay.
Is pretty much, you know. I mean, and I'm getting kind of bored with them, you know. And I think that's why I'm so excited about Batman Superman, is because, you know, this is something that we have not done yet. We haven't seen this yet, you know. And I mean, I need Marvel need to mix it up or do something.
That's kind of their plan or their hope.
Right.
With, you know, throwing in the Guardians and Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and...
I don't want to see Ant-Man. Who the fuck wants to see Ant-Man? Who gives a fuck about Ant-Man? Really? Ant-Man?
No one, apparently, after all the different writers and stuff they've gone through.
Right.
Well, I think Edgar Wright really wanted to do the movie, just that Marvel came in and I think, you know, because according to the rumors... Marvel did a rewrite of his script and he didn't appreciate it, so he just went ahead and left. And I think that's something me and Mr. Banff have talked about before. Marvel is very, very safe with their movies.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not taking any risk. We're just going to put out a very, I won't say bland, but just very basic movie.
Very, very by the numbers movie. Kind of movie. You know, Captain America, the second Captain America is not a by the numbers kind of comic book.
That shit is awesome. I saw it again for the third time last weekend.
It's more spy thriller. It's more in the vein of a Jason Bourne movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, it's more in the vein of that. But like I said, all the other ones, I mean, Thor 2, Dark World is, I swear to God, by the beat, almost the exact same movie as the first one. It was almost the same movie. The only thing that's different is he didn't lose his powers. You know what I'm saying?
I'd like to see a Thor movie without Loki in it. At this point, give
Loki his own movie, but other than that, Loki is the best part of those damn movies. He is. I mean, Tom Hiddleston, he is acting rings around everybody in the fucking movie. It makes no sense.
Chris Hemsworth's kind of bland.
Yeah. You know, and he's a great actor. If any of y'all get a chance to see the movie Rush, he is excellent in that movie. He is a good actor.
USA Network series?
Not about the doctor, the race car driver.
No, race car driver, dude. But, you know, he's a great actor. It's just that, you know, Marvel has these damn safe-ass scripts that they don't want to step outside the box on shit, you know.
And it's odd. I mean, it's odd that, because they're willing to do that with the comic books, with all the recent announcements right. in the news. But, you know, so far, at least with the movies, it seems like Cap 2 was like even though they didn't really risk anything, like dissolving S.H.I.E.L.D. seemed like a big deal.
Yeah, that was a very big deal, you know.
And that, and you know, in addition to having a series out, that they were able to coordinate the series with the movie was, you know, that was a pretty big risk
to me, that saved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, that did. Otherwise, right. that show could have been canceled and really wouldn't have mattered.
Right. You know, I mean, and let's not talk about Iron Man 3. I don't know what the fuck
I need to watch that again, because it's been a while. And I only watched it that one time in the theater.
Oh, trust me, I watched it again the other day. It still sucks. Yeah. That shit's fucking horrible, dude.
Man, he's going to be in charge of the Predator reboot.
Shane Black?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. Oh, well, not going to see those. You know, but that's the thing. I mean, like Avengers, if you look at Avengers is actually a very, very safe by the numbers kind of comic book movie.
Yeah.
But you know, the scale of it is what makes it so good, you know.
That's the reason I say like Cap 2 might be better than Avengers.
It's
close.
Damn close. Yeah. If it isn't better, it is damn close. Cap 2 is Cap 2 is like the Dark Knight of the Marvel universe right about now.
Yeah.
It's that kind of epic better serious than the storytelling. Oh, way better than the original. I love the original. I love the first Captain America. I love that movie. It's like one of my favorite ones. But, you know.
It's made me a Cap fan.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they turned him into a nigger in the comic book. Nigger.
Falcon.
Now, we weren't here last time when we talked about the female Thor, and we talked a little bit over the weekend, you know, as we were watching the pay-per-view about it. You can basically just tell everyone what your thoughts of this.
That's just Marvel stunt shit. Stunt casting is what we like to call it, ladies and gentlemen. That's all this is. It's like, oh, let's change it up. Let's do something dramatic and drastic and to bring the readers in. We're gonna turn Thor into a girl. Man, what the? Come on, dude. Really? Well, because we all know this is going to last about 6 months to a year. By the time Thor 3 shows back up, probably by the time Avengers comes out.
Yeah, that's what a regular lot of people old, are saying.
Yeah, regular old guy Thor will be back. And then this chick will become some kind of random character in the Thor universe that we'll fucking forget. You know, like Eric Masterson. You know, exactly what this, wow. Exactly what the fuck is going on. I'm just saying, this is exactly what's going to happen to this chick.
I will say, you know, that Tom Brevoort online has been putting bets up, saying like, oh, everything's going to go back before Avengers. He's claiming that the Cap, at least Cap, I think, is going to, your Falcon as Cap, is the plan is for that to stick for a while.
That one I can see sticking. You know, because people aren't going to have. I don't think they have that big of a problem with Sam Wilson being Cap. I don't think they do. You know, because he's been around forever. He's been Cap's, you know, Cap's sidekick, friend, confidant, whatever you want to call it, for years. You know, so I don't think they have a problem with that. But stunt chick Thor, that shit gonna change. Yeah. Gonna be changed really, really soon.
I can see that lasting a year.
Yeah, at the very most, a year. At the very most, yeah.
Or if they double that's, check, I mean, that's, they decide.
Right. But that's all that shit is, man. It's like, you know, that, I mean, that shit, it's just, that's all it is. It's just fucking stunt casting. They're going to figure out some way to make Thor worthy again. Thor is probably going to have to, like, sacrifice his life or give his life for some fucking body, you know, and they'll be like, oh, he's worthy again. Give him his hammer back, you know, and then he'll come back in a new costume.
Yes. Brand new costume, of course.
Brand new costume, and then she'll probably...
You go ahead.
I'm sorry, then she'll show... And then she'll still be around. Her name will be, I don't know, Lightning Strike or some bullshit like that. And her ass will have a fucking... her ass will have a fucking axe or a mace or something like that.
That's close to Mjolnir.
That's close to Mjolnir, you know. I mean, let's face it, they don't, like I said, you know, and this is the thing, this is not like a new phenomenon. Stunt casting isn't a new phenomenon. Hell, they did it back in the mid, like in 84 with Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah,
but Beta Ray Bill is actually...
It's more of a...
I was going to say, more of a
spotlight phenomenon thing nowadays, so it's a big deal.
You know, and this is the thing, you know, Beta Ray Bill was like Thor for like 2 issues, and Odin gave him his own hammer, and he's actually a fan favorite character. People love Beta Ray Bill. Hell, I love Beta Ray Bill. Please God, let Beta Ray Bill be in the third Thor movie, please. Please. Okay, enough of that. But yeah, that's all it is. That's stunt casting. I don't really, who gives a f- I mean I mean, I don't think this it's going to increase the readership probably for the first 2 or 3 issues. Then after that, people are going to be like, eh, and it's going to go right back to the way the fuck it was. Well, it's probably going to drop. It's probably going sales are probably going to drop. I just, you know, and then we'll be like, okay, it's time to bring back Dude Thor. Because Avengers 2 is about to come out, so we got to have Dude Thor back.
I like how Dude Thor sounds like a surfer.
I said it's Dude Thor.
Dude Thor.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact is they had to, you know, they have to relaunch the Thor book because we got female Thor.
Right.
Or chick Thor.
And then for excuses to relaunch anyway. New number one.
Right. Number ones, like, bitch, please. I just bought 2 number ones of the same fucking character 2 times already this year. Can you please stop?
Yeah.
You know. Oh, and speaking of Chick Thor, I just read an article in Huffington Post about Wonder Woman DC Comics should change Wonder Woman into a man. And that article just pissed me the fuck off, because this is...
You can't go in reverse.
Let me rant for a minute. Mm-hmm. Let me rant. Wonder Woman, the character in herself, she is a symbol of feminists. She is a symbol of female strength and love, and, you know, a female independence. If you change her into a man, you destroy that entire image, and you basically negate the fact that women can be strong and independent and self-sustaining and powerful on their own. That's exactly what you do when if you want to change this character into a man. Whoever wrote that article is the biggest dumb fuck on the face of the earth. You should probably suck a dick and choke and die. Because that's stupid. Why would you even say that? That drives me fucking crazy. I'm done. I'm done. Y'all, go ahead.
What else did we say we were going to talk about? We talked about Fox. We talked about all the other stuff that just popped in my mind.
Mr. Banff was saying that he looked at Hemlock. Was it Hemlock Grove?
Yes, Hemlock Grove. Yes, it's a cool Netflix series, and it's all centered around this town, of course, called Hemlock Grove, and the Godfrey family, who is this super powerful family in the city, and they own this big giant medical research building in the middle of the town. You know, the town has only got like maybe, I don't know, 5,000 people. But in the middle of the city, there's this giant glass skyscraper called the White Tower. And it's a series of, you know, and the Godfrey family are a bunch of vampires. And then you have werewolves and demons and shit all floating about through the damn town. It's a very, very cool show. This second season, I don't know how to explain it because it's so fucking convoluted, but... Okay, so this last season focuses on the young Godfrey boy. He's like 18 years old. His mother is supposedly dead, but she really isn't. And he takes over the company, and it's the second season like surrounds him and his love child that he and his cousin who he had sex with, who his mother tricked him to have sex with in the first season to get her pregnant to have this baby for some odd reason. And the baby, him, and this random chick who shows up in the town and starts taking care of this baby. I really can't explain too much about it, because if I do, I'm going to like destroy all kinds of like, I'm going to give you all kinds, it's all kinds of spoilers. But you have to kind of see it to believe it, because it's actually a really cool show. Like I said, the main guy, Peter, is a werewolf, and his transformations are like super duper cool. It's like really kind of old school. If you've ever read any of the myths of werewolves, how they transform, they don't sprout hair and grow teeth. They actually rip their skin off, and the wolf pops out of their body. And then they eat their skin. That's how werewolves transform. Yeah, it's cool. But it's a cool show. Everybody should see it. Look at it. Hemlock Grove. Netflix. See it.
Okay.
Today. Watch it now.
Also a new show that came on. It's not on Netflix, but I just watched the premiere of Rush. Not the race car driver, but the show about the Rebel Doctor.
Paul Abdul song?
No, not that. Yeah. Not Rush. Not Paul Abdul.
Isn't that the video with Keanu Reeves?
No. Once again, yes. No.
It is.
not that video.
Oh, okay. Sure. That's it.
But also in that show, Lorenz Tate.
Hey.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Huh. I was looking at him last night, and I was like, I was thinking it kind of looked like him, but I was like, nah, that's not Lorenz Tate. He looks oddly, like, older but younger at the same time.
He does look a little different from, you know, the 90s when he was...
His old dog days.
Yeah.
What'd you say about my mama?
Didn't his brother, like, surpass him in popularity? At least as far as appearing on more
stuff? No. No, Lorenz Tate is the popular Tate brother.
Well, yeah, I know he was the popular one, but I remember, like, at a time, like, at one point, it's not like his brother was popping up in more stuff than he was.
What's his bro's first name?
Wasn't his brother in
Bernard?
Wasn't
Bernard Tate?
Wasn't he in the first barbershop?
I don't, you know,
yeah,
I don't
he
know,
was.
I've yeah, not seen was. That movie in forever.
But yeah, and he kind of, you know, he's kind of, you know, come back. I know he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was on Rescue for a long time too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's where, because it had been a while since I saw him. I was like, I know I've seen a lot of other stuff. Let's see, according to this, he's been on House of Lies. Okay. Rush, but basically Rush is about a doctor that was kicked out of the medical practice for a short time, but he was reinstated, and he's kind of like, I always view it as... World Pains without the moral values. Basically, he does cocaine, he parties hard, but you know, he at the same time, you know, he's still in love with this old flame of his, but he's basically an on-call doctor that, you know, he basically gets paid in cash to help people. You know, one of the cases he had to deal with was a baseball player who is beating up his girlfriend. And then, you know, eventually the moral compass does set in. And he also had to save a gang member who got shot during a robbery and that type of thing. So he's that type of doctor. So we will see his journey over however many episodes, and we'll see how long this lasts. It's okay. It's, you know, like I said, it's good to see Lawrence Tate, and all I've seen so far is a pilot, so, you know, it's hard to judge stuff on a pilot only.
We'll check it out.
Mm-hmm. You were saying their original programming.
Yeah, they're kind of deviating from the good old Burn Notice formula for doing their TV series.
I used to watch their stuff originally, minus Burn Notice. That was like the only one I didn't watch. I watched the the Good Doctor show,
World Pains,
and
White Collar,
at least the first season of White Collar. Fell off after that, but yeah, after a certain point in time, I just lost interest in all of them and stopped watching.
Yeah, White Collar's next season is its last.
I want to watch that seductive the husband and wife cheating on each other show.
Oh, you're talking about, what was that called? It just came, and that came out the same night, I think, and I still have to watch the pilot episode. I watched most of it. It has the guy that was on The Glades. Speaking of shows that I hate, ended on a fucking cliffhanger. Hold on. Let me find the original programming.
Oh, that was the Jeopardy music, yes.
Of course, now I can't figure out. I can't find where that show is. Yeah.
Alright, so that's our what are we watching on television?
Okay. Me and Mr. Banff, we were watching on the WWE Network, we watched the pay-per-view Battleground, which was a so-so pay-per-view. Mr. Prize, my kid who's up visiting my parents didn't bug you to come over and...
She said she was going to call you to get the password to log in, and I was thinking to myself, good luck with that, because parents' internet is crap at home, so we're struggling trying to watch it. I thought about bringing her over to have her watch it over here, but then I feel like having to take her back over there at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. That should be alright.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It was. I mean, the best match was the Usos 2 out of 3 fall match with the Wyatt family. That was pretty good. The rest of it was just. I mean, it was just average. I don't think the crowd gave a shit. Besides the Seth Rollins Dean Ambrose beatdown, that was cool.
Yeah,
but.
The Raw the next night was more entertaining.
That's a problem that everyone has, is that usually everything is gearing towards the TV show instead of the pay per view.
They already got your subscription for the network, so
for now.
Who buys pay per view? So they're like, gotta get those TV ratings.
Right.
Yeah. Satisfaction is the name of that show. Okay, now we can go. We were talking about, the last few weeks, there have been so many articles about WWE being racist. In my opinion, of course, we all know that they're racist, but, you know.
Tell us something we don't know.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had people like Mark Henry and Ron Simmons saying, you know, it's not the same, it isn't racist, and that type of thing. And last night, Xavier Woods apparently started some type of faction where he's now the angry militant, not militant, but angry black dude.
And a brother who's got, get a...
Yeah, white suit, red shirt, right? And he basically is trying to talk the Kofi Kingston and Big E into joining him, which it appears they did.
I mean, mm-hmm. Big E already months ago had started the sort of the preaching.
He does. Yeah, he talks like a black preacher.
And tonight on Superstars, Big E and Kofi took on Titus O'Neil and Heath Slater. And at one point, I thought they were teasing. They had teased some tension between Slater and Titus, and I thought that Titus might be the next member of New Nation, as I've called them. But
The New Nation.
But Slater and Titus just lost, and that was it. I thought they'd be like a beatdown of Slater afterwards. They fight in a bunch of black guys beating down a white guy.
I mean, and you know,
defend,
then that's...
Can't defend himself.
Oh, well. Titus will join on Raw next week.
Yeah. I said, as long as they keep R-Truth away from that group, I'm fine.
Oh, God.
I said there's no place for skipping and jumping in the New Nation.
I had told you on Twitter, remember, he'll eventually come out there and say, yeah, I like shucking and jiving for all these people. That's what what's-his-face said. Bros Clay said that shit, because CM Punk, you know, the week before when he was doing the heel thing, was like, you know, we got a giant out here, you know, entertaining and dancing for all you fans, and then the next week he's like, I shuck and jive because I like these people. Like, really?
Really, do you now?
You went from being a monster to shucking and jiving.
Yeah.
Shucking and jiving, you say?
Cool. It's still one of the funniest moments ever. Like, when he came out there and started dancing and had the Adidas track suit on and stuff, I was laughing my ass off because I knew the internet was exploding. I knew Twitter had just erupted with just anger. I was like, look at him, he's dancing his ass off.
Yes.
Red, and we're not gonna take it anymore.
Coons.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe. Now, like I said, you know, if Kofi shows up and he cuts his hair and changes his tights, now, of course, Vince would probably not recognize him. Be like, well.
Yeah, it's not like he knows who he has employed under his company.
And that has been proven. Jimmy Wang Yang had visited after he had been released, like maybe a year or two later. And he was like, hey, Jimmy, how's it going? Well, I haven't seen you around. He's like, well, you. And he said, well, you released me 2 years ago.
There was. He's like, someone was talking about that JTG just made sure to avoid people backstage, and that's the only reason he survived for so long.
That's what it seems like. After he had went on that, didn't he get in trouble because of something he said on Twitter about not being on TV or anything, and then they had him job out immediately to Ryback the following week?
Probably.
And then, you know, after that, he never was on TV ever again.
You are done.
Nigger.
What?
What?
Yeah. New Nation has me intrigued.
And that's another thing. I know I read some article where someone said, you know, every time you get black people together, automatically everyone thinks New Nation. Because there never was a heel. There was never a group of black dudes together that weren't. I guess that's the one positive black group that was in wrestling or something like that. I can think of.
Yeah.
Besides Men on a Mission, but, you know.
No,
I
that
can't
goes.
Think of any. And, but in TNA, they got MVP, Bobby Lashley, and Kenny King together in a group. And, like,
they're
and
okay.
I told them, so, yeah, they're okay.
Of course, that's just what RBR calls them.
I think that's Harvey. I'll just call him that.
Well, I mean, that's their initials, MVP.
I know. Lashley and King.
MLK. Are we sure they're not calling themselves that in TNA?
I don't think so.
I don't watch it, so it's not like we really know.
I mean, I watch it every week.
Then what are they called, Rodney?
They're just called, you know, this MVP's group. That's it. I don't think they call them MLK, even though that would be some. If I think no one in TNA calls them that, is because no one has thought of it or has even realized it. They're like, holy shit, MLK. But then they would immediately think about the backlash if you have a heel group calling themselves MLK.
Well, you know.
Well, yeah, that's wrestling.
Stereotypes galore.
We don't stereotype. Did y'all ever read that article that was making the rounds that started that whole wrestling is racist?
I read it. First, I read an article where Ron Simmons says there's no racism, you know, currently going on in the company. And then I read the article.
I see that shit every time I look at Raw, when I see black wrestlers, racist.
I guess it was some article that was on
stereotypes
that was talking about how there's never been a black WWE doesn't push black wrestlers, and there's never been a black WWE champion, and like the person went through the whole article without mentioning The Rock, and then he caught flack online, and he
had to re-release it saying that The Rock is, you know, the first black WWE champion.
They were saying, first the guy was like dismissing it, like The Rock doesn't associate with his black side or whatever.
And it's like, that's kind of
obviously you don't even watch wrestling or pay attention to it, because
right. So
your whole article is null and void now.
I think he does a good job of, you know, shit, you know, embracing both sides, but
right.
You know, I mean, but his article came out, and you know, he made points, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, wrestling's made fun of Native Americans. Well, not made fun of, but they've stereotyped Native Americans, Russians, people that aren't really Russian.
I was just about to say, man, this is the thing about wrestling. Wrestling has always been about stereotypes. Even the white wrestlers are stereotyped. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody is. Randy Orton. Randy Orton is a serial killer. You know what I'm saying? His pad is. You know what I'm saying? You got the Wyatts, backwood country redneck inbred white dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what wrestling is. Wrestling has always been about these caricatures of people. Or, it's not. I mean, it's not. None of them are flattering. None of them are flattering. That's just how it is. Should it change? Probably. It probably should change.
I mean, it's something we've always said, is that, you know, we would like a black dude that showed up and just, you know, he was a black guy, but he was a normal dude. He didn't like, you know, he didn't have to act a certain way. He could just be a good wrestler that he just happened to be black. You know, right. we don't have to jump into a stereotype, but
I honestly think, like I said, The Rock is probably one of the few black wrestlers who, especially when his gimmick really took off, he didn't shuck and jive, he didn't fall into a stereotype, you know, he was just this cocky, arrogant asshole who just happened to be, you know, a black guy, an African American, you know. I think that's why we still love The Rock so much for that, you know. I mean, And like I said, and now, I mean, you know, and that, and unfortunately, Vince and Triple H thinks the same way as Vince does. He, you know, he's still in that. They still are old, that old school kind of mentality, how wrestling is supposed to be, kind of thing. They still are, you know. It's probably gonna take another few years for the stereotypes to eventually go away, you know. But then you run into the problem, you know, what do you do now? Because, you know, your wrestling has always been about characters. You know, you take the stereotype away, you essentially are taking characters away. You know. Yeah. You know, hell, I mean, like, hell, Stone Cold Steve Austin, biggest stereotype there was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a redneck. That was just almost like based upon a serial killer character.
Right. You know, so it's a catch 22. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. So, you know, I mean, you know, I can, like I said, we can look at wrestling as for what it is. It is entertainment, you know. That's all it is. Do some of the stereotypes make us cringe when we see it? Oh hell yeah, you know, definitely. But you know,
My wife hates R-Truth to this day.
Hell, we all hate R-Truth. Like fucking R-Truth.
Yeah, who likes him?
Right. I like Kofi. Even though Kofi is not from fucking Jamaica.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, and I think everyone was just, and even to this day, people talk about that Kofi Kingston Randy Orton feud that did wonders for Kofi for about 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden it was like that dude just careened back down the mid card.
Right.
So, you know. Maybe one day we'll see our, like, a black guy as the world heavyweight, or as the WWE champion. You know, maybe we'll see it. I would like to see it.
Yeah? I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Maybe after Vince dies. You know. Maybe after Vince dies, it'll probably happen. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, Vince still got his hands and everything.
Yeah. That. Yep. We'll see what happens.
Might be a good ending point for tonight.
Cool.
Ending point.
We got the period. Touched on a couple of different topics. Want to thank everyone that tuned into tonight's show. And, of course, again, make sure to go to the website, theclicknation.com. And, of course, go to coldslitherpodcast.com to check out the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. You can follow me on my Twitter account at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. And Adam Black is at @the_Adam_Black.
Yes.
Mr. Banff doesn't tweet
at all.
And make sure to like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. We will check in with you guys next time. So for the Click Nation podcast, we are signing off.
Peace. Junior.